The confession that Jesus Christ is Lord is a confession that we are brought to by the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of God that convicts us of our sinful state. It is the Spirit of God that points us to Jesus as the only answer of for our sin. And when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord, it is by the Holy Spirit that we can now declare that Jesus Christ is Lord.
We all know somebody that's having a birthday. Normally, we search hard and long for the perfect gift or the perfect birthday card for that loved one. But for us as Christians, we have been given the perfect gift that keeps on giving. Lance Cook will talk about the spiritual gifts that we possess in Christ on today's broadcast of Seeds of Commitment. And for the next several weeks, we'll be learning about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we'll be venturing through our studies in 1 Corinthians. Today we'll be looking at chapter 12, and we'll examine the first 9 verses. And we'll consider 2 unique gifts of the Spirit on today's broadcast of Seeds of Commitment. And now here's Lance.
The Corinthian church, the more I read this letter, the more I say, what's up? Man, you guys started out so well. You started out so well. They're just like you and I. You see, last Sunday and last Wednesday we had happening services. I left here and went, thank the Lord for the Lord. That's what I said. I just thank the Lord for the Lord. It was good to be in His presence. No sweeter place than to be close to the Lord. And what a great, great thing it is to be in a building this size with this many people that are seeking the same God and finding Him. It's sweet, is it not? It would be easy to say, well, that was then and this is now. Let's all become carnal tonight. Let's start becoming self-centered. Let's start just focusing on what we want. Forget the Lord. Forget others. Let's get interested in the philosophy of the world and start bringing that in. Let's allow sexual immorality to run rampant in our church. Let's start pursuing men rather than the Lord and become divided. On and on, the problems grew within this church, the believers in Corinth. Man, rather than having that privilege and acting upon that privilege of infecting the culture around them, they allowed the culture to come in and affect them as the child of God, as the body of Christ. They missed it. They became carnal. They became self-seeking, self-indulgent. And of course, that led to disorder in the church, not just divisions and disunity, but disorder. And Paul, of course, began to deal with the disorder in chapter 11. Order as it related to women and their potential abuse of their newfound liberties as Christians. Order in the communion service, which we went through in our weekend time together. And now order in the area of spiritual gifts. In chapter 12, Paul turns and deals with really the misuse of spiritual gifts that was causing disorder within the church. Now again, part of this could have been blatant abuse. Part of it might have been neglect as well. But Paul says in verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. The idea is that their abuse or their neglect, the misuse of gifts, stemmed from, obviously, their lack of understanding. In spiritual matters, not much understanding. Paul saw that they were either untaught or possibly misinformed. They either needed to be brought along in or reminded of the proper use of spiritual gifts in the church. Could have been. He's been gone for at least a couple of years now. Churches change. Look around at us. We have a lot of people that weren't with us 3 years ago, a couple of years ago. Many of you might have been saved in the recent weeks. It could be that there was a lot of new believers in the church. And as the gifts were expected to be operated, as they were maybe modeled in their proper use of operation. Maybe there's just so many new believers that there was questions and maybe that led to, you know, some of Paul's response. But then there was just the obvious. It seemed that ignorance was something that plagued the church. Maybe they had grown distant and forgotten about it. Who knows? Maybe they hadn't been studied up. Maybe they weren't in the Word as they were. Well, we know that from chapter 3. They had not come along and grown and matured in the study of God's Word. But ignorance plagued many in the church. In chapter 10, Paul said, don't be ignorant of Old Testament typologies and examples. In his second letter in chapter 2, he would say, don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. And of course, here in chapter 12, he's saying, don't be ignorant of spiritual gifts. So again, there was a lot of ignorance in the church of Corinth, even as there is a lot of ignorance in the church today concerning the proper use of spiritual gifts. Now, in our church, I don't see the disorder that would come from, you know, the misuse or the abuse of spiritual gifts. What I see, though, is people that are disengaged with Christian service because of misunderstanding of spiritual gifts or neglect of spiritual gifts. I see a radical disengagement, not a disorder, if you will. Not, you know, all of this, you know, crazy chaos and confusion that would come as what would mark the church in Corinth. But I just see people disengaged. As we go through our study, you realize that there's a purpose for God giving us these spiritual gifts. And as people use those gifts, they become engaged with kingdom work. They become engaged with the body of Christ. It connects them with, it hooks them up. It makes them used in the body of Christ. They become involved in the body of Christ. When people do not exercise their spiritual gifts, many times they are disengaged. That will become the result. They're not connected. They're on the fringe. They're standing around. They don't know their place. It's kind of like they don't know how to fit in. They don't know where to fit in. They're not being used. And if I were to say, well, what is it that marks the church today? I would not say, again, it is disorder. Not to be repetitive, but to be clear. It is not so much disorder, but it's a disengagement. And so I think that this study is fitting. I think it's timely, especially as we are sensing the Lord beginning to do a greater work. As we look around, we see, you know, more ministry. We see more people. We see, you know, expansion of God's ministry, His work on this property of Calvary Chapel La Habra. And so obviously, the Lord would be looking to raise more up. Now, all of us in Ephesians chapter 4, we are told clearly, have been given a gift by a measure of God's grace. When is that gift given? Well, most scholars agree that when a person is saved, they now become a recipient of God's gift. He is the great gift giver. As we go through chapter 12, we'll see it's all about His ability to, you know, endow and His ability to, you know, place within the body of Christ. But who is that that He endows? Who is that which He places with gifts within the body? The believers. And so I believe if you're a Christian here this morning, God has given you a gift. Whether you know what it is, whether you've received it, whether you have, you know, actively used it, you have been given some capacity within the realm of His gifts. Now in chapter 12 here, we are going to be talking specifically about spiritual gifts. And I believe that all gifts are connected to these spiritual gifts, and I'll get more into that in our time to come, I believe, over the weekend. But again, as we move forward, I want to drive this point home. As we grow as a church, I believe this study is very timely. I believe our worship time together last Wednesday night was very timely. I believe Sunday mornings and Saturday night services, coming to the Lord's table and talking about coming with the right heart, you know, connecting up with Jesus, having the right fellowship, real sincere fellowship with Jesus that plays out in real sincere fellowship with one another. I believe all of these studies are timely right now for this body. And that's why I'm closing off a lot of studies saying, are you hearing what the Spirit is saying to the church? Are you engaged with what God is doing in this church right now? I've seen the Lord do incredible things probably, you know, 5 or 6 times in advancing this work. And some people, they catch it, they see it, they are engaged with it, and others just miss it altogether. And I don't want anybody to miss out on what the Lord is doing. And so as the Lord begins to grow His work, many times He'll begin to stimulate in people's heart a desire for more. He'll begin to quicken them to find their place in His body. They begin to have a desire to be used. You see, when God begins to do a work, it's not just the provision that so many times we look at. Oh, the greater building or the greater opportunity with the greater physical thing, you see. When God begins to do a work, He begins to do it in the hearts of individuals, men and women, no matter what your age is, no matter where you're from, no matter what you do. He begins to do a work within our hearts. And so as we begin to talk about expanding and adding new services, it doesn't surprise me that all of a sudden people surface saying, man, I just feel like I want to help out with kids ministry. I feel like I have that gift. I feel like I have that desire. And all of a sudden, the list starts to fill up. We see that in other areas of ministry. There are some areas of ministry that the Lord needs to stimulate some more hearts. Some of you women, as we're talking about usheretting, you see, ushering for the women, feel free if the Lord puts it on your heart. Honestly, openly, there's a lot of guys here that go, not me, that's way too much hard work for me. Women, bring it on. Go for it. But there's a lot of these particular things that the Lord will do as He is the master conductor of this incredible symphony, where He's going to just start speaking to people and ministering to people, and He's going to just make beautiful harmony. But we have got to say, hey, am I hearing? And then if I'm hearing, am I heeding? Will I engage? Or will I allow the Lord to engage me in this incredible work? Well, the church in Corinth had their problems. Again, I believe we have our own. But not only were they ignorant, but many of them were misguided. They were misinformed because there was misinformation spreading through the church. Some were coming along and cautioning the believers, cautioning them to be careful with the empowering of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, cautioning them about this gift of speaking in tongues and various things that are connected with the operation of the Holy Spirit in and through our lives. Others went as far as this, saying, hey, if you're opening yourselves up to some of these gifts, you might be opening yourself up to the spiritual world and not just God's Spirit. Maybe you're opening yourself up to the demonic world as well. And of course, that is an outright lie. You couldn't be misguided any more than to say that. So Paul says in verses 2 and 3, you know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Paul looks at this church, and many of them, of course, were Gentiles that had a paganistic background. They were idolaters. And he contrasts their idolatrous past with their present state, in Jesus Christ. Paul says, take a look back to your pre-Christ days. Remember what many of you, you know, put into that place of God. Remember what influenced you and led you away into false worship. Remember how Satan subtly came along and influenced you, and he had a grip on you through idolatry. He spoke to you and he led you through that influence of idolatry. Well, look back then and look at where you are right now. Where you are right now is nothing like it was back then. Demonic influence has been replaced with divine influence. Paul used the same strategy with the church in Ephesus when he was talking to them about their salvation. There in chapter 2, he says, guys, remember that you were once Gentiles in the flesh, without Christ, strangers from the covenants and promises of God. You were without hope of God in the world. But then, in contrast to that, he says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were afar off have now been brought near by the blood of Christ. And so Paul used the contrast of their past to better clarify their view of the present state that they all had in Jesus Christ. It's the same thing here. He says in verse 2, you were at one time aimlessly deceived again by Satan, very vulnerable to his demonic influence. But it's not that way any longer. Now you have come into a new life, a total new life of the Spirit, filled with and governed by the Holy Spirit of God. So don't put any stake into what these people are coming and saying. They're trying to misguide you. In verse 3, it says, to speak by the Spirit is to speak under the influence of the Spirit. If you are under the influence of God's Spirit, then you can't be under the influence of demonic influence. And so he put, just close that door on that misguided information that had snuck into the church. Secondly, Paul said there as well, Paul, he says that the true test of divine influence is in verse 3. It says, no one speaking by the Spirit of God can call Jesus accursed. Accursed is a wrongdoer that is worthy of damnation. In the same way, no one can say that Jesus is Lord, he says, except by the Spirit of God. This open confession comes only from the heart of a man or a woman who has been enlightened by the Spirit of God. Oh, you might be able to mutter the words, but you cannot claim Jesus personally as your Lord unless the Spirit is at work within you. And Peter, of course, made his confession of faith, or Paul, excuse me, he made his confession of faith there in Matthew chapter 16. Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." The confession that Jesus Christ is Lord is a confession that we are brought to by the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of God that convicts us of our sinful state. It is the Spirit of God that points us to Jesus as the only answer of our sin. And when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord, it is by the Holy Spirit that we can now declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. You cannot truly declare that except by the work of the Holy Spirit within your heart and within your life. So Paul's point. The Holy Spirit will make your relationship with Jesus and your understanding of Jesus very clear. If Jesus is your Lord, then the Spirit again is at work in you, evidencing divine influence, which means no demon is going to take control, and influence you or speak through you or these kind of things. Paul says, don't be ignorant of that as well. Now he turns in the next few verses from, correction to construction as he begins to build them up through the truth. In verse 4 he says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. For you note takers, the word gifts in the Greek is the word charisma. And it means a spiritual endowment. It's a miraculous qualification. Charisma comes from the Greek word charis, where we get our word grace. Grace, again, that which is undeserved or unearned, such is the case with our gifts. What are the gifts? G. Campbell Morgan said, "I am nothing in myself and no use to God or man for the service of the kingdom of God. If He, in His infinite grace, has allowed me to serve, my qualification has been in the gifts that He has bestowed." Godly man, used in a very godly way, that did great things, says, "Hey, in and of myself, with my own human capacity, I will never be of service to God. But if in His infinite grace," G. Campbell Morgan says, "He allows me to serve, or enables me to serve, my qualification has been in the gifts that He has bestowed. He qualifies me." Gifts are capacities for service. They are diverse as well. There are many different gifts. We all have different gifts. No Christian, again, is left out, as I said earlier. And Paul here gives a partial list of just 9. He'll talk about the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the gift of faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, speaking in tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. And then over in Romans chapter 12, he will list another 7, showing mercy, leading, giving exhortation, teaching, ministry, and prophecy. But we're going to concentrate on what we have here in 1 Corinthians. But he says in verse 4, first of all, there are diversities of gifts. What does that mean? That means that the gifts are diverse in character. Now we have, unity in their source and the design and in the use, being that they're from the same Spirit, but the gifts are diverse in character. In verse 5, he says, there are differences in ministries. That speaks, of course, of the government or the administrations. It refers to the opportunity for service. It reveals the service. The word gift or charis there, or charisma, speaks more of the origin, while ministry speaks more of the application. The application. So we have diversities in gifts. We have differences in ministries, and then we have diversities in activities as well in verse 6. The Greek word for activity there is the word energeo, which means to be active or efficient or effectual. The English word energy is actually derived from this same root word. Here, this speaks of power that actually equips us for service. The idea is that this is a diverse experience. Now, of course, it's the same Spirit. but how we experience the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, that empowerment that activates and qualifies our gifts, man, it is diverse. Some experience the power of the Holy Spirit, come upon them, and they actually feel something. Their emotions are affected. They might even develop some goosebumps and hair raising on their arms, you see, and maybe a flooding sensation of joy or God's love. They might even well up and have some tears. Others feel nothing like that, and that's okay. There's diversity in activities. Personally, I know that when I come out here to teach, I know it is a gift that God has given me. It is not of myself. I could never do this in my own human capacity. But it is a gift that God has given me. And I found that sometimes as I'm teaching, I've been studied, I've prayed, I felt that God has given me, you know, something to give. I'm in the back, I'm worshiping, I'm preparing my heart. And sometimes I come out here and I teach, and sometimes there's just clarity. I don't know where it comes from. There's clarity. Things come to my heart, things come to my mind, and I just begin to share them. And the next thing you know, I'm saying, where did that come from as I'm sharing it? That was incredible. How did those things even connect? I don't know. And I'm almost having this conversation with myself as the Holy Spirit's talking. You guys are nodding, taking notes. I'm going, where's this coming from? But as I'm doing it, I don't feel anything. I feel just as relaxed and comfortable. I'm nervous most of the time. But I mean, as far as the teaching part, yeah, just as the way it goes, as if I was sitting down with you, having a cup of coffee. Other times, because it's diverse, how the Holy Spirit comes upon you and begins to activate that verse, that gift. Other times I'll be talking and this emotion of God's presence, and my emotions begin to respond to that, and my throat will tighten up, and I can't talk very much, and my emotion sometimes acts with tears. My body responds by expressing tears. And I'm being so touched by the Holy Spirit in such a unique way, as that gift is being operated, it's very different than other times. Other times it's just elation, it's joy. Maybe because I finally made sense or something. I don't know, but there's joy. And I'm like, wow. And their joy fills the room. And I can go on and on about the various diverse ways I experience the Holy Spirit touching me when I am, allowing Him to exercise the gift of teaching through my life. Now, why do you bring that up, Lance? Well, I didn't bring it up. Paul did, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But I think it's worthy of development. Because we are the kind of people that we will see, you know, something or hear something and go, ooh, that's the way it's got to be. We like to formalize things, don't we? Well, that guy over there, you know, he got just like Timothy, you know, there was the laying on of the hands of the elders and the presbytery, that they laid hands on him and he received the gift, you see, and that's when he began to be used. So, you know, I understand there was, you know, my friend over here, there was 5 elders and 2 deacons. So get the elders and the deacons, because that's the way it's got to work. I want a gift. I want my gift to be, you know, empowered, and I want to go. No, that's not right. It's diverse. It might have been the way it was for Timothy. It might have been the way it was for someone else. You might be driving down the street in your car. No deacon with you. No elder. You haven't even seen an elder in like a week. Don't even know who they are anyway. Haven't seen one, though. And all of a sudden, man, God begins to empower you, and someone's next to you, and you begin to have this incredible graciousness or whatever begins to overtake you, and you begin to maybe give a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, or you begin to have this incredible discernment that is connected to those gifts, and wow, oh, how to driving down my street. Well, does that mean everyone needs to go out and buy that kind of car and drive down that particular road to receive that kind of gift? Absolutely not. It doesn't work that way. But it is our nature to, you know, formalize and to try and, you know, formalize how the Spirit works. That's the way it worked for them. So that is what I expect for me. And so we've got to be careful.
Well, today Lance Cook has been teaching us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as we are looking at the first 9 verses of this section of Scripture dealing with the spiritual gifts that we have in Christ. There's still much more to learn in this section of Scripture, and I hope you can make it a point to join us next time right here on Seeds of Commitment. Now, if you're not able to join us for that study and like to receive a copy of this study on audio cassette or compact disc, mention tape number 4602-30. That's 4602-30. And for credit card orders, simply call us at 714-441-2845. We accept Visa, MasterCard, and Discover Card. And again, simply call us at 714-441-2845. If you're sending us a check, please make it payable to Seeds of Commitment and write to us at 1370 South Euclid Street, La Habra, California, 90631. And to know more about our ministries and activities, simply go to our website at www.seedsofcommitment.org. There you can know more about the radio ministry of Seeds of Commitment. Again, log on to www.seedsofcommitment.org. And then make it a point to join with Lance Cook for more rich commentary in our studies in 1 Corinthians. Until then, may God bless you as you stay committed to the Word of God.